Hello.
Apparently, Marge Simpson's sisters are involved in this.
Now I've taken over to doing.
What was that?
That I've taken over not even doing impressions of people. Oh. I've taken over doing impressions of bad impressions of people. That's okay. My impression of a bad impression of Pacino. That was the.
I don't know what.
Have you seen the Trip? Steve Coogan, Rob Brydon.
Oh yeah. I have seen that.
That's where that comes from.
Oh, is that what Rob Brydon does?
They're doing like their bad impersonations of Pacino.
Of Pacino.
Yeah, it's like Lock Pacino, and he's like, ho.
Can you do the Man in the Box? Do the Man in the Box, Mr. Rob Brydon, bad impressions.
The Tiny Man in the Box. I saw Interstellar at the Wexner last Friday.
Yeah.
In 70, and anytime Michael Caine came on, all I thought was their duel of Michael Caine impersonations.
You got to yell. I can't do Michael Caine.
But then he, after a while, he's had the brandy and the cigarettes, and now his voice is like this, and he gets very sad. And yeah,
that's not a good Michael Caine.
That's not.
That's well, a I'd, bad I'd, impression I'd, of a pretty good impression.
I didn't say it was any good.
Yeah.
Are we recording?
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh. 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 Anyways, if you couldn't tell from the shenanigans unfolding,
stay tuned, America. There's good stuff coming up.
America, the world. If the shenanigans unfolding in front of your very ears. Yeah, we are here for Marathon Chat.
Can shenanigans unfold?
The very last Marathon Chat before the 32nd annual.
32.
Yeah. 24-hour science fiction movie marathon.
The greatest science fiction movie marathon.
Ohio.
Ever.
Yeah.
Well,
the series. I mean, you don't want to say, if this is the greatest one, then next year, forget it.
That'll be even greater. Yeah. We just keep getting better.
Now, the special thing on this, well, you know what the movies are, even though there was an error in the last email.
Who are you? Who are you?
You?
Who are listening?
The people. Do you know, people listen to this, actually. You want to, just for some numbers?
This looks really self-serving now. Like, you want some numbers? Well, no, I'll give you some numbers.
There are more downloads to this than people who show up at the marathon, I have to say.
That's because half the people downloading this do it for completely comedic reasons.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Hey, honey, you want to hear two geeky guys talking about some things, some sci-fi things?
Yeah, but we get a decent amount of traffic on these things. So yeah, several hundred downloads at least.
Yeah. By the way, just as a note, some of you received a blast from us, an email blast this weekend, saying 1 week until the marathon. I neglected to mention that 10th Victim is not in the lineup, and Doctor Who and the Daleks is in the lineup. So if you got that email and you're thinking, false advertising, we're not that slick.
If you got that email and you thought, exterminate!
You're probably right.
Yeah. You know what's funny is I recently watched, there was an episode, the classic Doctor Who, like all the way back, William Hartnell, first Doctor. I was with at Tim Martin's house. Tim Martin, longtime Marathoid.
Tim Martin. I've heard of this guy. People only talk of Tim Martin in hushed tones.
He's like a ghost.
He's like the Ferris Bueller of Columbus. He is.
But his friend had brought in a video of one of the original William Hartnell episodes of Doctor Who, and it was the very first original Dalek episodes in that series, and it follows the story of Doctor Who and the Daleks pretty closely. Which is kind of impressive because I'd never seen that old. They're hard to find. Some of those Hartnell episodes are really hard to find.
Yeah.
It does. I've seen Doctor Who and the Daleks, but it is, of course, that movie's in full color.
I hope so.
And that's a DCP, isn't
that's
it?
That's a DCP, yeah.
It better be in full color. That was the big deal.
I hope it's in color.
That was a selling point. He's not a Time Lord, but it's in full color.
I've said this before informally, but I'll make it official right now. And some of you out there in podcast land will hate
That's
me.
That's Cody the Destroyer in the background. I'm babysitting in the magical studio in the sky.
He agrees.
Was that so?
Cody's kind of the bouncer in the magical studio in the sky.
Yeah.
He's deceptively strong and tough, and he's smiling when we say that.
He will hopefully be coming to the marathons in, well, not too many. It will be a while.
Another year, yeah. He also knows not. He knows well enough not to talk into a microphone for free.
Grabs it.
I like that. Some of you will.
He grabs anything you put in his face. It comes from breastfeeding.
Yes. Some of you will hate me for saying this. Some of you will laugh, and some of you will say, "Well, duh." What do you think, Cody? Would you laugh?
He looks people, like he's ready to speak.
People on the other end are saying, "Like, what is it? Get to the point.
Get to the questions, damn it."
I've never watching Doctor Who and the Daleks will be the first time I've watched any Doctor Who material. Period.
Wow.
Not out of hatred.
Not a fan, huh?
No. I just haven't.
You haven't. It hasn't. You didn't know about it. It's only been on for a couple of years.
I never really listened to any Frank Zappa till I was 27. That wasn't because I hated Frank Zappa.
I heard Frank Zappa was a Time Lord.
He is. In about 10 years, he'll be finally conquering all of us.
Hmm.
And it'll sound partially interesting and partially indulgent, but that's okay.
It's pretty much like this entire podcast.
Yeah. Equal. Yeah, that's what I want the poll quote to be if we ever go further with this. Equally parts fascinating and self-indulgent. It's
yes.
Marathon chat.
Exactly.
They don't even talk about marathons anymore. They just chat. Cody just ate the microphone.
Let's talk about the marathon now. And one of the things we did for this one is we're sort of following, since we're so hip.
Oh, yeah. I have to give the plug.
You have something more? Okay. Do your plug.
Plug. Okay. Hey, hep cats, kids, neighbors, friends, Romans, countrymen, insomniacs. If you're wondering, because we'll probably forget this later, but we do have...
Here's the vital information.
Date. We have the date. The date, the official date, the one and only for... the 7th annual Ohio 24-Hour Horror Marathon, the next shock around the clock. It's not like a huge revelation, but that is noon Saturday, October 17th until noon Sunday, October 18th at the Drexel. This is going to be a special one because this is number 7.
I thought the last one was special because it was the 666. Which you can see, I actually have my shirt on.
Kevin does have his shirt on right now, and Cody is... enthralled with the satanic skull that's on it. He's covering it right now. No, this will be a special one because those of you who know about these things know that the longest running 24-hour horror marathon in Columbus, the original Night of the Living Drexel, only lasted 7 years.
Oh, really?
So if we can make it through this one and do one more, I'm going to retire because my youthful dream will have come true. I will have finally... produced or helped to produce one 24-hour horror marathon for more than 7 years. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Someone's going to ask me now. They're like, are you going to retire?
Well, here's the thing, because here we are. We're doing a marathon chat, and the deal is... Because we're so hip.
That's about what we sound like.
Because we're so hip and cool. Because we're so hip and cool, we're going to follow the Reddit methodology and say, this is an Ask Me Anything thing. They can ask you anything. They can say, hey, you know, I'm not going to say anything that's too gross and disgusting. Why not?
That would be so below your standards.
It would be.
It would.
But anyways, so we're doing, anyone could have emailed it. They could email in their questions, and we've got a list of questions for Joe to answer.
Oh, we're transitioning to the
sci-fi. Let's go right into that. Yeah.
Wait.
There's you want to do the
No, there's another plug. Yeah.
Finish up the horror.
This is what I like to call, uh-oh. Cody the Destroyer just fell out of the magical studio in the sky. This is tragic. So I like to call this little corner Joe's Evangelical Corner. And no, this is not some kind of religion plug. Last night, I've done this before. I did this with Candyman. Remember when you were holding your...
kids
horror marathon. I watched Candyman around the same time you guys would.
Yes.
And I came in the next time. I said, oh, Candyman is so fucking good.
Yeah.
Even though I knew that. Last night on Netflix, so you can get this on Netflix.
You can verify that it is on Netflix.
I rewatched recent horror marathon hit The Strange Color of Your Body's Tears.
Oh, my God.
While I was fully awake. I am ready to pronounce that The Strange Color of Your Body's Tears might be one of my favorite horror films of all time.
I'm stunned. Somewhere out there,
there'll be a few audience members who are like stopping their cars and going, oh, why look? And some of them will say, I told you. Yep.
Protect your nipples.
I highly recommend you should go back and watch it again when you're a little bit more awake. Granted, I know the time it played was tough, but oh, I love that movie. I can't say enough good things about it now, and I'm hijacking my own podcast with you just to kind of say you should go see it again. It's fantastic. If Cody saw it right now, he would probably become a genius.
Well, you know what's funny is when you were coming over for this, I said, "Oh, Cody will be quiet and fine."
You did.
And then what is he doing? He's doing this the whole time. You put the microphone in front of him.
He won't talk to a microphone.
He's trying to eat it.
This is going
to
be our Jump the Shark episode.
It is.
This is when we brought in the kid because we needed to.
That's right.
We needed to youthify the thing up.
Well, like, no, but then the kid won't be there the next time. It's just like a sitcom.
It's
like
Marathon
Cougar Town.
Chat with Kevin Carr, Joe Neff, and their 10-month-old sidekick Cody.
We can do our own sitcom with that.
Yeah. All right, so there's my horror marathon plug. Maybe a little more news on that at the marathon this coming weekend. There's my plug for Strange Color of Your Body's Tears, confirming what many of you think, that I'm a pretentious twit.
Yeah.
But
I switched the letters, but go on.
Yes, I would too. Trying to keep it clean here for the our new burgeoning child audience, our 10-month-old demographic.
That's right.
Okay, so yeah, the idea that we had podcast.
Just so everybody knows, just give the bits and pieces of what the marathon this weekend. Just in case you don't know, in case you swerved into this.
Okay, yeah.
If
you stumbled into this, I'm sorry. If you did...
you need to stop drinking.
This coming weekend, noon on Saturday, March 14th until noon on Sunday, March 15th, it is the 32nd annual Ohio 24-hour science fiction marathon, the celebration of cinematic excess, as I like to call it, at the Drexel Theater, 2254 East Main, here in Columbus. Tickets still on sale, $40 in advance. They are moving, so advice to you if you're on the fence, get off the fence. $45 at the door the day of the show. Should I list all the films? Just because we can talk about them at some point.
No, because we'll hit the... go to scifimarathon.com. Unless there's one or two you really want to highlight. I mean, it's women in film.
Yeah, right. Our salute to women in sci-fi. My partner in crime, Mr. Bartu, dubbed it Sci-Fi Girls. That's G-R-R-L-S. Sci-Fi Girls. Screen queens.
Nothing sexist about that.
Screen queens who kick ass. Are you calling him sexist?
No.
He's not even here to defend his name, and you're calling him sexist.
Well, he can.
Wow.
He can defend it.
You're going down this weekend.
I am.
Come to the marathon to see Bruce destroy Kevin.
The day after International Women's Day, and we're talking about sci-fi.
Yeah, that,
girls.
Well, Riot Girls was like, you do know about that, right?
Yeah.
Do you know nothing about Riot Girl, the movement, the musical movement out of Olympia?
I know about Pussy Riot.
You are such an old fart.
The greatest part about... Let me tell you something just
as a side. I like to call this part of the podcast Joe's History Lesson.
The best part about Pussy Riot and that whole shebang that happened is you had... I think it was Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, saying Pussy Riot on national TV,
which is
kind of amazing.
Pussy Riot guest on House of Cards this season?
Oh, they did?
Yeah. Yeah, there's an episode where they... The Vladimir Putin stand-in comes to America to have a state dinner, and Pussy Riot, the real Pussy Riot, comes into the dinner.
As opposed to the fake Pussy Riot.
And you have to hear Kevin Spacey as president say, "And we welcome Pussy Riot." And they have dinner with them, and they do something slightly, I can't think of the right word.
Righty?
Not obscene, not obnoxious. They do something in keeping with their image, and they perform over the end credits.
Good for them.
Pussy Riot's huge, man. Man. Okay, so you obviously missed out on this part of pop culture development, but you know about this little band called Nirvana, right?
Yes.
Cody knows about Nirvana, obviously. Cody's the hippest 10-month-old in the world.
This is a disaster. this is like trying to baptize
Kevin,
a kid.
Kevin emails me last night, and he says, "Hey, I got to babysit tomorrow, but it'll be okay. Cody doesn't talk." But man, we're bringing out the best in Cody today.
Yeah.
So Nirvana came out of that Seattle scene in the late 80s, early 90s. Yeah. And one of the big influences on them was a scene out of Olympia, Washington called Riot Girl. And girl was G-R-R-L, as in girl.
Yeah.
And you're talking bands like...
Wait, what's that? How's that called?
Girl. That's my aging Betty Davis. Girl.
Homer, why don't you go out with your wife
My Patty and Selma, yeah.
I love Riot Girl.
Riot Girl, the movement, was bands like Bikini Kill and it was Kathleen Hanna. Haven't you seen the punk singer, the documentary about Kathleen Hanna? Well, you review films, though. You get screeners.
What was it?
The punk singer?
No.
It's really good. Kathleen Hanna was the main, well, one of the main forces behind Bikini Kill. She's married to Adam Horovitz, who is MCA from the Beastie Boys.
I don't follow music.
She was like a major feminist figure in the early 90s. And Riot Girl had a bunch of bands under this blanket movement called Riot Girl that were strong proto-feminist punk bands. Mm. And that's where this comes from. That's not sexist. This is celebration, baby. And by saying baby I've dropped back into...
I've been to a couple strip clubs that use GRRLS, and so that's maybe...
You know, I don't come to the giant, magical, mythical studio in the sky to be judged. I come for me to say things and for you to say, you're right, Joe. You're always right, Joe. Thank you.
Okay, how does that go again? All right.
Who's the one holding the baby today? Yeah, thank you. Right. Trump card. I don't know where that came from. Anyway, yeah.
All right. Woo.
Wow, we got into a big discussion. Well, you just don't know your lady history.
I don't know.
Kathleen Hanna's probably listening to this right now, and she's going to email.
She is.
She's going to email
she
in saying,
"Better get in line behind Stephen King and Werner Herzog."
Hey, Kevin Carr, why are you so sexist? Love Kathleen Hanna.
Love hugs and kisses. Girl. Earl.
Ladies, I am sticking up for you. I really am. Anyway, so yeah, it's our tribute to women in sci-fi, and specifically kind of very strong, kick-ass women in sci-fi. So
like
that's,
Doctor Who and the Daleks.
Like Doctor Who and the Daleks. Which, have you seen the film?
Yeah.
It has a girl in it.
It has a girl in it. Like, she's like six.
Well, not every film is completely kick-ass women. It's just a general theme. Come on. Tell him, Cody. I can't wait to hear this.
No, you don't.
For those of you, do you like podcasts with ambient baby gurgling?
Yeah. Well. So here we go. We're gonna let's roll into now that you know the information about the
so the concept that we gave last year on the official marathon forum at scifimarathon.com. I did a live Q&A, and I just logged on, and people from the forum logged on, and they asked me questions, and I answered as many as I could, as honestly as I could. So this year, since we're doing the podcast right now, I pitched Kevin on the idea of doing kind of like an AMA, or in this case, an AMAA, I guess, although we don't have a ton of questions, where people could email Kevin with questions about the marathon. And the intent was I wouldn't see these questions before Kevin asks me. So
no.
I have not seen any of these. Nope. I do not know the content aside from Kevin saying some are serious, some are not so serious.
Yes.
So what you're getting is pure, unadulterated something podcast.
It's pure underworld
podcast magic.
Something.
Yeah.
It's unfiltered. All right. Let's see. Let's start off with a message from Tim Martin. Question from Tim Martin.
Tim from Groveport writes in.
Well, we'll go with softball. Pretty easy one. Will there be pizza again this year at the snack bar and a, quote, unlimited refill soda cup? I don't know why you put that in quotes. Did he not get unlimited refills? Well, it said unlimited refills.
Quote, unquote, unlimited refills.
Pizza?
That's an interesting question to ask on a podcast for this.
It is,
pizza?
I literally ask you about food every time.
You do, yeah.
I do.
Yeah, to my knowledge.
What's the name of the show?
Well, here's what we know. We met last week with the good folks at the Drexel.
Yeah.
And they're finishing everything up. I would be shocked if there was no pizza. We didn't specifically discuss pizza, but we've always had pizza in one form or another when we can.
I think it was Donato's last time.
I think it was
Donato's
last time.
Do you think it's going to be Donato's this time? This is all Tim.
It's hard. You know, sometimes...
Donato's is a pricey
pizza. Well, and sometimes, too, it's... marathons have changed food-wise. Like, you'll go to one place for one marathon, they'll work with you, and the next time there's new management or there's like an edict from corporate that they can't, or some of these things have been kind of a crapshoot marathon by marathon. But as far as I know, we should have pizza. Okay, let me tell you this. I haven't specifically been told, oh, by the way, no pizza.
No pizza.
No, because we can't do pizza at marathons anymore. Okay. If you've been to these Drexel marathons, you know, every one, they have tried to up the ante a bit with the food options.
Yeah.
Within reason and within what they can get. I forget. Did we have the unlimited soda refill for horror? Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
I don't drink soda anymore.
Yeah.
I should know this, but
no, they did.
Yeah.
I
well, and
they've had it. They've had the unlimited refill for years.
Okay,
so I would imagine
there should be okay. part of the reason I'm kind of sketchy on this is we talk with them about concessions. Okay. But concessions are their bag. Yeah. I mean, that's how they make most of their money at this event.
Of course.
So buy some stuff from them, please. So we talk about the broad generalities of concessions. But I especially, I don't get too heavy into that because I generally trust they'll figure something out.
Yeah.
I believe as of last check, the plan is they really had a push this time to have interesting, specific, different food items available at different intermissions.
Oh, that's
like, remember
cool.
when they had the White Castle run a couple years ago? Who can forget the White Castle run?
Or really 2 hours after the White Castle run.
At last check, I believe the plan was that Drexel was going to make a 5.5 by 8.5 insert, program insert that we can give you as you're coming in. And it will list any special food deals, or if there's going to be blah, blah, blah at this intermission, you'll know ahead of time. If there's going to be blah, blah, blah at this intermission, you'll know ahead of time.
That's
hopefully
really
if, yeah, if they, and we used to kind of do that back when they were at Gateway and Arena Grand.
Yeah.
Remember they'd have like, oh, here's some deals for the gourmet concession stand with, you know, wine and other things like that. Yeah. I don't think there was wine. But hopefully that will
happen. They got wine now.
Is there wine?
I think so.
This is so pathetic. I don't even know that there's wine.
I think so.
There's wine? Wait a minute.
There's definitely beer.
I'm missing out, let me tell you.
There's definitely beer.
There is definitely beer. So yeah, there should be a list of things that you can get at different times and when that's going to be.
Will there be do you think there'll be like an unlimited coffee? Well, are there mugs? Because of the mugs. I mean,
okay, I'm laughing right now, and none of you can see this, but if you could have seen the quizzical look in Kevin's face and then the hand gesture he made for coffee mugs, it looked, yeah.
Would you like to grow them back? kind of thing, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, no, there'll be mugs. So, yeah, same setup as last time with coffee mugs. We have the mugs winging their way to our greedy little hands as we speak. If you weren't at Horror Marathon, this is what we did. This seemed to be a much better system than the old coffee system. So
The old coffee system.
The beta version. The DOS version.
Yeah.
So if you want to buy a coffee mug, you go to the t-shirt / coffee mug table, which we have set up in the lobby. You buy the coffee mug from us, $15 flat. That's it. If you just want to have the coffee mug for kicks, you know, you can have it. You don't have to do anything else.
It's $15 for the mug.
$15 flat. If you'd like to get the unlimited coffee option, past years we always had like $20 for the mug and it came with unlimited coffee. Well, that got financially weird because we had to break up how much for mug, how much for coffee. You know, theater has to make their money for coffee.
Yeah.
So if you want unlimited coffee with that mug, you go to the concession stand, you give them $5, tell them I want the unlimited coffee. They will give you a wristband. Put the wristband on, and then anytime you want coffee past that, you just come up to the stand with your mug, you show them your wristband, they give you a coffee refill.
They throw coffee in your face.
They throw coffee in your face, they laugh at you, the deep Germanic accent. Yeah, that's it. And that should hopefully make things fairly easy. And yes, the coffee mug will be a design for this year. We always try to do that, have a different design for each marathon. But yeah, unlimited coffee for that.
Awesome.
And let me think, anything else concession-wise we should talk about? I think we covered everything. There was one other thing. Coffee, unlimited coffee. Soda, I'm assuming, is going to be the same. I think they still have the cups, and they generally do that anyway.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's it. I mean, it's pretty
That's about standard from what they normally do.
Just about, yeah.
And if they're bringing in different stuff.
And as we've said before, too, because some of you might have been absent from the marathons for a few years. The radio cafe next door has been closed for some time for various reasons kind of beyond the theater's control. So because there's a lesser amount of extended food by nature that's in the theater, there are several places in the neighborhood where you can pop down and get a sandwich or something else like that. Feel free to do that. We will not be doing some kind of extensive TSA-style bag check when you come in. We won't have a situation like happened one year, many years ago, when Kevin, our buddy here in the studio in the sky, came in with a cup of coffee and they forced him to drink it beforehand. That doesn't happen anymore. Yeah. Don't worry. If you bring a cup of coffee in or a sandwich, we're not going to just, you know, throw you out.
Especially if you're there and you're waiting in line.
There's that too. Yeah. So. But, you know, and we understand there are some people in the audience who have special dietary needs and it's not feasible to accommodate everybody with what they have in the stand. you know, buy stuff from the stand, please, because the Drexel's been very good to us.
You're going
to
be there for 20 years.
You're going to be there for a long time.
This is my philosophy, because I'm older now and I can no longer just survive on pizza and hot dogs. Buy stuff at the stand. Get the drinks, get some coffee, get some snacks, whatever. But if you need to go get something, if you want a salad, you're going to have to go out to get a salad, probably.
Well, and I can tell you, we're working up to trying to get more things like that.
Yeah. But it's been great to have that there. Yeah. But don't feel bad about going out. But when you come back, get a candy bar.
Bring a cooler of stuff in.
Or don't try to bring a cooler. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Popcorn, excellent source of fiber.
Okay.
Uncomfortable silence.
All right.
So anything else for the concessions? Tim, is that I hope, Tim, that's not a convoluted answer to your fairly simple question.
I think it's pretty much.
We could debate the quote-unquote unlimited.
Yes.
Did they limit you, Tim, in the last go around? Did they finally say, "Sir, you have busted us out of soda. Your bladder cannot be that big."
Let's roll to the next question. Yes. This comes from Andrew Aaron, I think is how you say his name.
Andrew Aaron?
Aaron.
Andrew, can
A-H-E-R-N.
Ahern. 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 I think it's Andy. Oh, no.
My
know.
My apologies, Andrew.
There's an Andy Ahern, I think is his name, that it was on the mailing list. Okay, yeah.
He said, let's pick one of these. All right. If you could bring in any guest, living or deceased, to the Sci-Fi Marathon, who would you bring and why?
David Cronenberg.
Kevin can channel. Oh, that's your answer right there.
Well, for me? Yeah. Me personally?
Would you bring him in living or deceased?
I think Cronenberg might.
Would you kill him first and then bring him in?
I think Cronenberg might appreciate being dead and then being brought to the marathon.
My answer would be Terry Kaiser, dead.
Who's Terry Kaiser?
He's Weekend of Bernie's. He's the guy who played Bernie.
And then you and
Bruce can run around.
Did we ever talk about the Oakland A's, the baseball team, a couple years ago? I didn't know this till the end of the season. It was a completely local thing. They started taking up the Weekend at Bernie's. How can I say this? His gait, his rigor mortis.
Oh wow!
So the fans started taking that up. They did this dance in the stands where they'd like. What did they used to call it when the little fad when people planking? Do you remember planking?
Yes, I remember.
It was like planking and dancing at the same time, because it was like these fans dancing like this, like rigor mortis, and it became this thing. And they actually brought Terry Kaiser to a game to throw out the first pitch.
Did he throw it out as a dead guy? Did they bring in Andrew McCarthy and Jonathan Silverman and also have him help him throw them?
I think Terry Kaiser, he did wear like an approximation of the outfit, and I think he did throw like he was half dead. But yeah, it was the Weekend at Bernie, I guess is what they called it. It became this little thing, this sensation amongst the fan base.
Wow.
Probably because their stadium is a piece of crap and has raw sewage floating up in it during games. But Terry Kaiser would be fun. David Cronenberg, though.
David Cronenberg, the gold standard.
Sci-fi, horror, anything. And I know Bruce has wanted to bring him in for something for years. On a personal, selfish note, I would like to bring him in for sci-fi, because I have tried for years to get David Cronenberg elected to the Sci-Fi Hall of Fame.
and
no one will vote for him. They'll vote for like Azuki Beans from Great Yokai War before they vote for him. They'll vote for ridiculous things. And that way I could finally say, ha ha, sci-fi fans. Nice. No, seriously though, I think he would be a phenomenal guest for either. I know we've thought about it. We've, you know, sent feelers out in the past. He, to me, here's a good example. Remember the question I posted on the forum of the final marathon?
Yeah.
What would you do? For those of you who don't know, I was doing this question of a week feature on the sci-fi forum. And each week there'd be a question, and hopefully people would answer it and have something interesting to say. And I said, okay, what if sci-fi marathon was ending? And you were able to program, book, organize the whole thing. How would you do it? What would you do if this was, for some weird reason, the last sci-fi marathon? With the implication that the horror marathon might continue, but the sci-fi is like banned or something. I don't know. I never gave my answer to what I would do. If you talked to me when I was 17, I would say do a greatest hits marathon.
Yeah.
If I had to do that, if someone told me sci-fi was next year, and I don't know, if Bruce gave up for some reason and I had it all to myself, I would book David Cronenberg.
Yeah.
Because to me,
he works both ways.
When to me, that is what his career about, what his philosophy is about, I think is what science fiction as a whole, but also what the marathon should be about, which is looking forward while also looking backwards, but doing, evolving, doing different things, mm-hmm. You know, being somewhat daring in that way. And I think he'd be great. He does appear at some horror genre related things here and there still. Mm-hmm. I mean, he hasn't done a straight horror film in 20 years.
Oh yeah. He's very drama driven.
Even though a lot of his films tend to deal in the same themes.
Well, it's darker and weirder, but yeah. it's a far cry from Videodrome and Shivers.
If you gave me unlimited options, money, all that stuff, and he would come out, yeah, easily number one on the list.
I would say, see, the thing is, mine's for me personally, it'd be weird because it'd always be something that wouldn't necessarily be a draw. Like, I'd want to bring in, I'd love to see Tom Holland.
Oh, he'd be good, yeah.
He'd be great. But no, he's not a name that you can sell tickets with.
I'll give you another one. I'll give you a totally more sci-fi name, even though he's not necessarily sci-fi, but then again, Cronenberg can go back and forth too.
Yeah.
This person would be more appropriate for a sci-fi than a horror, but Terry Gilliam.
Oh, yeah.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah, he'd be great.
Both guys are like heroes of mine in so many ways, but sure. I think Gilliam would be tremendous.
See, yours are such recognized. I'd like to bring in like Rene Roll Rene, I think is his name. He's this really crappy direct-to-video director, but his stuff's actually really quite enjoyable.
Yeah.
He did stuff like The Scorpion King 3. I mean, you know, he does, terrible movies, but he knows how to put together a film.
Yeah.
And of course, then there's like ridiculous stuff where I'd be like, I'd like to bring in George Lucas in like June of 1999, like right after The Phantom Menace came out. So there'd be all these people hating on him, but still enough people defending him that there'd be just a rumble.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's the thing.
You get into that, I mean, his question, Andy's question was,
realistic
if you could if you could bring in one person right now, who would it be?
Well, now, living or dead.
Let's leave dead out of it because there's so many. God, that's
Thomas Edison.
Yeah,
did you think this was going to happen?
Like
show him a Serbian film and say, "You did this."
Bring in Stanley Kubrick, or bring in.
Who do you think Bruce would say
for sci-fi?
Sci-fi.
I know Cronenberg's been on the list for any marathon for a while. I'm trying to think of what else Bruce would say. We had someone else ask us questions like this for an interview recently. And we had a lot of overlap between our two answers. Boy, that's a tough one. Well, that's the thing, though. Living or dead might be the biggest thing for him.
Yeah.
If you could do dead, he might say Goulardi.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I mean, Goulardi was like probably the seminal influence in terms of that part of his life.
Sure.
He grew up in Cleveland. I mean, he's talked about him quite a bit. I think that would be cool. If I could bring Ernie Anderson back from the dead and he was like in his prime.
Yeah.
To bring him out, yeah, that would be fun.
His son out there too, and then they can fight.
And
over
Paul too,
better movies.
Yeah, yeah, that would be.
I
love that.
Bring P.T. Anderson out, and then not show any of his films.
Yeah, yeah, they did. Well, he does that sometimes. Did you know? Well, no, we're getting off topic.
Yeah, we got more. We got more questions.
Other question people are saying, "Come on, get
all
with
right,
my question."
Let's dip into the another message. Another question from Tim. You probably saw this one coming. When will everyone's favorite hockey mask wearing serial killer finally make his debut at a marathon? Obviously, Jason X is long overdue for a sci-fi marathon appearance, but the horror marathon should have shown the original Friday the 13th by now, or at the very least. Did you know that the day before the marathon is Friday the 13th, in addition to the day of the marathon is Pi Day?
Oh, well, yeah, we talked about Pi Day.
Friday the 13th. I mean, this would have been perfect for Jason X. Just to twist that knife into two.
Yeah. because people the next day would have said, wait a minute, a Friday the 13th film, because yesterday was Friday the 13th. how to answer this question? Okay, well, there are easy and complicated versions of this answer. Sci-fi. Tim, for those of you who don't know, sorry, Tim, I'm going to expose you now. Tim has for about 10 years said, show Jason X. Because it's Jason in space, and it has David Cronenberg in it too. I have not seen Jason X. I actually bought Jason X used on DVD, but for some reason the codec that was used to encode it won't play on my computer or my Blu-ray player.
It's God watching out
it, it
for
must
you,
be
apparently.
I really want to see it. I grant
it would go well at like 4 in the morning.
I agree well, and I think diplomatically speaking I have to, because this is when it gets complicated.
Yes, Mr. Kissinger.
When Tim them first. That's like Sylvester Stallone.
That was a little bit. That was borderlining on Henry Kissinger.
My, well, I
policy.
When them first suggested Jason X. Now I'm becoming Jackie Mason. God. Hello. No, when Tim first started beating the drum for Jason X at Sci-Fi, I don't think it was realistic to show it at that point for a lot of reasons that I had nothing to do with and that Bruce in many ways had nothing to do with either. It would be possible now. If we wanted to show it, it would. Now it's just a matter of, okay, when? I wouldn't be shocked if we showed it at some point because it would be fun, you're right, and it would be cool. I think part of it for this one was once we hit the women in sci-fi theme, we wanted to try to get as many of the films in the lineup within reason to focus on female-centric cast, or at least strong females, you know, with balancing out trying to get some titles that people would know and some more obscure ones, blah, blah, blah. So it might have been hard for this, but sci-fi, if there's any time when Jason X could show, it's probably sometime in the near future.
Ooh.
Because that didn't sound rehearsed at all. That was beautiful. Thank you. No, I think it would be fun to show. I think people would enjoy it, even though I haven't seen Jason X.
It would be a good little midnight, middle of the night movie. Not midnight movie, middle of the night.
Horror Marathon, this is a case where part of it is just me for a long time, because up until last fall, I'd never seen any of the Friday the 13th movies in total.
Yeah.
I'd seen parts.
Just being stubborn.
Yeah, well, I just...
Being a rat bastard.
I mean, this is going to open a whole new can of worms. It's always a difficult balance when you're programming an event like this, as we've talked about in the past, how to program it. If you have nothing of your own personality go into programming, then why are you involved? So some of that is that. And I think you see that in the various 24-hour horror and sci-fi marathons around the country. Dario Argento. Yeah, I'm the only one who shows him. Nobody else does.
Someone is a little bit knee-jerk about Dario Argento.
It's like the joke you keep beating and beating and beating for decades.
What's that?
Dario Argento.
It is. Yeah. Well, no, it's not like it is the joke.
Okay,
it is the joke.
Believe that if you will.
You'll be on your deathbed. I'll be like coming. I'll be like 92, and you'll be 88. For some reason, I'm outliving you. God knows why that happens. And I'll just walk in. I'll go Dario Argento.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, come on! And then you'll die.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
To me, I don't know. I don't know how you can defend it. We also haven't shown Nightmare on Elm Street. We also haven't shown the original Halloween since 1993. You know? I mean, part of it is...
It's almost too easy? Is that part of it?
No. Well, we're showing Alien for this marathon. That's a pretty revered one. I think part of it was when I started programming events or co-programming events back in the 90s. Friday the 13th still, that was in the age when like 80 slasher films, kind of aside from maybe the first Nightmare, had a reputation in general as being like cheap and dumb. Mm-hmm. They have undergone somewhat of a resurgence over time. If
like a fine wine.
It would be, yeah. If we had to program one of the major 80 slashers next, Nightmare would probably be first. I think that's a better movie than Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would never rule anything out. We've often said, and Tim knows this as well as I do, because he and I dreamed about this years ago, if we could ever get the setup to show Friday Part 3 in 3D, we would do that easily.
Yeah.
That's a matter of we haven't been able to get the setup.
Okay.
Friday Part 1.
When you say, you mean the original polarized version of it, like the true 3D, or would you show an anaglyph print?
Are there anaglyph prints? I don't know.
I've seen anaglyph prints.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Are they okay?
I mean, well, I saw it 20 years ago. But
okay. If it was okay, sure. Here's the thing. We would never want to show 3D that looks really crappy. Black and white anaglyph?
Which is pretty much any
anaglyph.
Well,
but like black and white anaglyph can still look okay.
Yeah, I mean, well, but also it's...
I saw it came from outer space in anaglyph 3D 5 years ago up in Boston, and it looked fairly good.
I've seen it came from outer space and Creature from the Black Lagoon both in anaglyph 3D. And
polarized would look better, yeah.
Well, yeah, of course polarized would be
better. I think once you get into color especially, you get a lot of bleeding and other things like that. So as long as we could show it in a good format,
yeah,
Friday Part 3 in 3D would be great.
What about Jaws 3D? Since I know Tim's a huge fan.
Well, nothing could ever beat Jaws 3D. Someone years ago, way back when.
Years ago.
1998. I had some intense discussions with some friends and co-conspirators about trying to bring back the 24-hour horror marathon at that point. And they brought up Jaws. And we were considering trying to figure out a way to show Jaws.
We should have bring in a swimming pool.
Yeah.
And we can all splash around the swimming pool while we watch Jaws.
Yeah, well, Jaws is an interesting one, too, because that's one that most people like, and it is in some ways a horror film.
What's it about again? I'm kidding.
Teeth, I think, or a dentist? I don't know. It's tough. Every year it's tough because you know as well as I do, if you try to program the marathon like we have, then you want to get a few premieres. That's a couple slots. You want to get some things that are lesser seen. That's a couple slots. There are times when you'll program something and not publicize why you're programming it then, but let's say this is your one shot to show it.
Yeah.
Blade Runner this year, it definitely fits into the theme of having some strong women. Mm-hmm. And it's a great film. But part of the reason we're showing it is Warner Brothers did not have the rights to distribute it for the last 3-4 years.
Yeah.
Because of all the production companies that were involved with producing the film. And we were not 100% sure they're going to have the rights like a year and a half from now. So we wanted to show it because it's like, hey, we haven't shown it in 20 years. Let's show it.
Yeah.
Let's put it out there. So there's so many things that go into it. That's a convoluted answer to Friday the 13th. Tim will probably now hear this and say he hates Friday the 13th.
You will never show it.
No, for the record, since I've seen part 1, 2, and 3 now, I like part 1 more than I thought. I actually like part 2 more than I thought. Part 3 was fun. I mean, I watched it in DVD 3D, which was not effective at all.
That's when it starts becoming formula.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this, of all the slasher films, you know, if you talk the slasher series, Friday the 13th actually holds up the best.
Oh, yeah.
I was over at Tim's and we watched all the Friday the 13th once. Mm-hmm. We watched all the Halloween and we watched all the Nightmare on Elm Street. Friday the 13th is probably the most consistent.
Yeah, we talked about that before, because Halloween gets ridiculous after a while.
And Halloween, the last three Halloween movies are just, it's a chore.
And Nightmare gets ridiculous. Goofy. Nightmare gets so goofy because Freddy becomes a cartoon character.
Yeah. It's very 90s.
So yeah, I mean, you know, at some point we might. I'll say this, so far, aside from Tim and his contingent, the Groveport contingent, or the Tim Martin contingent.
Yeah.
We haven't had like a great uproar to show Friday the 13th yet.
Of course, we
haven't had a big uproar to show Serbian film, and we showed that. So
it was afterwards.
Hey,
was the uproar.
Hey, yeah.
All right, this is the next question. It comes from Dan Woods, aka Agent Stinky.
Agent Stinky
on the message board and on Twitter.
Yeah, he is.
All right. What has been the most disappointing movie guest surprise, etc., which was almost booked but ultimately fell through?
Oh, wow.
Kelly Maroney?
Well, the way that question evolved, I thought it was going to be most disappointing guest or movie, and boy, it's like, what can I talk about? so many things I could say. What has been the thing that fell through that was the most disappointing? That's a tough one. Historically.
Yeah.
I think historically and this is totally a product of its time, and wrong place, wrong time, wrong timing.
Sure.
Probably, I think, the biggest disappointment in marathon history was when Mystery Science Theater 3000, the movie, was pulled.
That's the one I would have actually mentioned.
Because when that film came out, 1996, for those of you who have no clue the context, the dear departed Drexel North, the home of the first 9 sci-fi marathons and the 7 Night of the Living Drexels, closed in May of 1995, 2 months after the final sci-fi marathon that was there. And for a long time, it was up in the air where the sci-fi marathon would go to, if it would continue, what's going to happen. A lot of nervous people or ticks, I don't know.
Yeah.
Or nervous people with nervous ticks. So the next year, I was working for the Drexel at this point, and they made the deal with the Rife Center to bring the marathon to the Capitol Theater.
Okay.
And the thinking at that time was they needed something big to kind of drag people along who were hesitant. Because for those of you who never went to the Capitol Theater marathons, in many ways they were fantastic. The space is great.
It's beautiful space.
You can't
great
eat
screen.
In the theater. That was the biggest problem of it. And that was
it's
like
wooden seats, too.
Yeah, I mean, you could live with the seats. You know, they weren't great. Well, okay, I could live with the seats.
Now I probably couldn't live with the seats.
Too bad.
Back when I was... No. Not, I mean, I'm 43 now, but when I was in my 20s, it was fine.
I liked them because you could take... Some of them you could take the armrests off, and I would bang myself in the head when I was trying to stay awake.
Well, that's always good to have. You can just bring a piece of wood.
Whoa. Didn't think of that one.
Figured that one out.
Boy.
You could also kill vampires with it.
Oh, I get it. So the Capitol Theater marathons were great, except for the food. And the food thing, I think, had somewhat of an impact over the 3 years.
Oh, it did.
So I think the thinking was, look, they won't be able to eat in the theater. And that, as you know, is a big part of a marathon experience.
Yeah.
So we need something big to like guarantee that people will keep the faith and join along. That was the year that that there were 10 or 11 films, and I think 8 of them were voted in by the audience from the year before. So, the big premiere was going to be Mystery Science Theater 3000, the movie.
Yeah.
And at the time, this was like wildly anticipated in the fan community. And MST had, was it still on at that point? I think MST was still on, but it was in the later Mike Nelson years at that point. No.
What had happened, actually, I'm a huge MST, so I know the whole situation. And there's also some interesting tidbits I can throw in into this story.
You know more than I do.
What had happened was Mystery Science Theater had been on for 4 years. And then they switched hosts in the middle of the fifth season, and that's when Mike Nelson came on. It was actually at the height, the end of fifth season and into the sixth season, and then they wanted to do a movie, which eventually became Mystery Science Theater 3000, the movie. Mm-hmm. Frank Conniff, famous for playing TV's Frank, had left the show.
Yeah.
And they go into season 7, and in order to do the movie, for some reason internally, Jim Mallon, who produced it and ended up directing the movie, they said, well, for us to do the movie, it's going to take so much of our time and resources, we're going to trim the season down to 6 episodes instead of the normal 24 is, I think, what they would do.
Okay.
They did 12 the first season or two, and then 24 seasons 3, 4, 5, and 6. Then season 7 only had 6 or 7 episodes. And that really incensed the fans, because they're like, wait, we're basically trading like 17 episodes for a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And TV's Frank had left. And so there's already at that point, apparently Comedy Central was getting a little bit iffy about renewing them. And I don't know exactly what was the tail wagging the dog in this whole situation back at Comedy Central. And they know themselves. But it ended up having the situation where Comedy Central was ready to get rid of the show, even though it was a big thing. And then they did season 7, which had very short season. They had the movie come out and did not do well.
Yeah.
Because it was released by Gramercy, which had no idea how to release a movie.
Which is too bad, because they were very nice people.
Yeah. And it bombed. Part of the problem was they had trimmed the movie down. It actually was like 71 minutes. It's actually shorter than a proper episode. And it was their traveling show.
Yes.
Which was, they did This Island Earth. And then Comedy Central famously canceled it, I think maybe right before the movie came out. And then Sci-Fi picked them up a year or two later.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
That's just the sort of the Mystery Science Theater background.
Well, it was, you know, the fandom for that show was arguably even maybe just past its height.
Yeah.
A lot of interest. And this would have been huge. And it even made it onto the...
Yeah, it was a big deal.
Yes.
Because... It was such a well-revered show at the time.
Yeah, and that's the thing in context. That's why
knowing it bombed didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
That's later.
And that's why I said in context, because if you look back today, people would think, and?
Yeah.
But at the time, that was big. I mean, it was a good lineup with that at the top of it. And it made it onto the flyer. And then there was a controversy over it, because, and I never completely picked up the 100% straight story, but there was a dispute with Gramercy about how it was being billed, what kind of premiere it could be counted as.
Oh, okay.
And I think this was in the infancy of the internet being widespread, and I think there were some half-truths that were also spread about how it was being billed, and he said, she said, blah, 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 and the movie got pulled, because Gramercy, I think, were annoyed that they thought it was being billed as something it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
Didn't show. Marathon was still fine.
Mm-hmm.
We replaced it with Tremors 2, which was arguably a better movie.
Yeah.
And I like MST the movie, but, you know, that's how it happens. That's the one that stands out of all the things that could have happened that completely fell through.
Uh-huh.
There have been things that fell through over the years, but it's the disappointment level has never been as big. I mean, there are guests that we talk to all the time that we'd like to have, and they just don't work out. We famously... I wonder if I should say this person's name, because I've never said it in public.
Yes, say it.
We famously... four or five years ago, we had a line on Udo Kier. And it looked like we could get him, but then when we finally looked at how the numbers broke down and you know what we would have had to pay, we couldn't afford it, which was sad. And that's and trust me, that's nothing against him. It was more of, we're going to pay all this money, and the people who come to the event and hear the Q&A are going to think that was one of the greatest things I've ever seen. But we're going to have to cut off our arms, sell our blood, sell our souls to convince like half of the audience to pay more money for this event, because they'll say, who's this guy?
Yeah.
Why are we paying more for this guy? Even though anyone who's like a real genre fan knows, oh, Udo Kier, he's great.
He's in tons of things.
But it's different than charging $50 to see John Carpenter.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
So there have been little things over the years. I can't think of one, like a premiere or something like that.
While you're thinking about through, that, let me add a little bit to the filling in the cracks on Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
This was what, 90? It was the 96 marathon?
96.
96 marathon. Back then, you're right, internet was in its infancy. I had recently graduated from college in 94, so I had a computer and I had AOL. And that's really, people think about it now, AOL was actually
big.
The internet then.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there was AOL, and then you sometimes left AOL to go on the internet, but AOL was like the internet. It basically was.
You youngsters out there have never grown up with getting free AOL discs in the mail and in your paper and in your magazines and in your,
So I, and back then, so there was no website where, there was no scifimarathon.com.
No.
I don't think so. Most of the way you heard about these events is you saw advertising on, and I remember once saw somebody had called into the Sci-Fi Channel on their show Sci-Fi Buzz for one of the marathons in the early 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a weird way to get the information out. What you relied on was the flyer, and when the flyer came out, that was the gold.
Yes.
And you'd also get it published in Hoot. Hoot was a big supporter.
Oh, yeah.
And Columbus Alive and the other paper would run information on that. And comic book stores, a lot of comic book stores, which were much bigger then, had the flyers there. And I remember I picked up a flyer and MST was all over it, as you recall.
I think
the flyer.
There was an early pre-release version of the flyer that I think was sent to the mailing list.
Okay.
And it said,
maybe that's what it was.
And
maybe
it said,
I got it in the mailing.
It was like big and oversized and had a special slug of copy on it addressed specifically to the hardcore fans saying, hey, we really need you to come along. It said, world premiere MST3K.
Okay.
It was obviously not the world premiere, and I think this wasn't malicious. I think it was a case of somewhere the information got lost.
Okay.
When the real flyer came out, it said premiere MST3K. I think it was literally whited out at the last second.
What happened was... So
wait, you know the whole story and I don't?
Well, no. This,
why didn't
you just, well, no,
I'm
telling
you, the story.
This is my side of it. I got the thing, and I was actually on the MST message boards on AOL at the time. And I got the thing and I thought this was really great. That was the greatest thing. I was ready to go buy my tickets then. And I was up online and I went ahead and I posted on the message board, hey, the Drexel Marathon, if you want to see the MST movie at at this marathon, they're going to be, I don't think I used the term world premiere. I just said they're going to be showing it. Or they're going to be
is premiering. This all your fault?
It may be my fault.
Did you screw the marathon?
Well, I posted what was publicly sent me on
so
the
this,
flyer.
So this is why you've been trying to make it up ever since with all these
well,
generous
no.
coverage and podcasts because you killed the marathon.
I do not think I would have used the term world premiere. I was more excited that they were showing it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I posted it on there. I don't know if other people did, but I know for a fact I did. And at the time, a woman named Julie Walker was their PR woman.
I remember that name. Yeah.
And her, it was, and I remember that because it was Julie Waugh at AOL.com was her email address. I don't know if that's her email now. I just busted her out on it. And to show what a geek I was, I actually had gone to this MST first convention back, in the summer of 94, 95, whenever their first convention was. And I had met Julie and she was really cool. The convention was huge for what they were expecting. They were like expecting like 200 people and they got like 10,000. I mean, it was ridiculous. I don't know if they got 10,000, but they got thousands.
Yeah.
And they were overrun. They didn't know how to handle it. And so what I did is, so I'd known Julie. I'd met her a couple times and she was very helpful and very friendly. So then I think it was something like either she responded to my post and was like, or she responded because it started a thread and people were like talking about it, and she's like, no, that's not showing. And not being she was saying, if they're saying that, they're lying. And she used some pretty harsh language. And I remember then I even sent her an email and I'm like, I'm looking at a flyer and it has, and I like I said, they're showing, it has the picture of the movie and it's saying they're showing it. And she kind of responded with some pretty caustic words about the management saying that they're lying and they're definitely not showing it and this and that. And I'm like, oh, and then it just quietly disappeared.
Story I always heard was that at some point, briefly, they had it confirmed.
Okay. I would imagine they would have.
And then everything fell apart. And I would not be shocked all those years ago if management had a 75% confirmation or a brief confirmation with caveats and management at that point might have run ahead. I don't know. Yeah. This is all speculation. It wouldn't shock me if those happened. Okay.
Well, it's funny.
Being in the belly of the beast at that point, I don't think it would have made it to the flyer if there was absolutely no chance it was ever shown. I don't think this was some kind of case of false advertising.
Yeah.
I think there was a window where it looked like it was a go, and I think something happened shortly afterwards that screwed that up.
Yeah. What happened was, and then later on,
You've never told me the story.
I never told you. Well, I didn't want to get in trouble. But then what I did
with Julie
at
Walker.
One point, no, I don't care about Julie Walker. I didn't want Bruce.
Hey, Julie Walker, here she.
But no, what I did was I then called the Drexel's main office a little bit later and pretended I was a roving reporter,
and
I wanted to
AOL.
Get a quote from Jeff Frank on that, and it was a very non-committal. It was kind of a no comment thing.
Oh yeah,
which you'd expect from something, but he's like, we're not showing. He confirmed that they weren't showing it, and that's really all he could say about it.
Yeah,
but I remember. I lied.
If I remember correctly, the turn.
But I had heard from somebody else that they said somebody went on the message board and was bragging about it and claiming that they were going to show it. And when that showed up on the message board, they pulled it.
And
that's what I had heard.
And I had heard a story before,
which is why I was nervous telling it.
And I had heard a story before that. That it was the world premiere wording that got their goat because it wasn't the world premiere and they had held screenings at college campuses before then.
They showed it in Minneapolis.
That it would have been a local premiere.
Yeah. Is that why it's so specific to say Ohio premiere, Midwest premiere, Columbus premiere? Because flyer there says for
time lapse.
Midwest premiere for Shadows on the Wall, but Ohio premiere for time lapse. Have to do it a specific way?
Well, you like to, just because if you don't, you look cheap.
Okay.
I know for a fact that the Shadows on the Wall producers told us that this would be the Ohio premiere. I hope I didn't flip those on the flyer. Bruce never told me anything about that.
Oh, no. I hope Julie Walker's not working for one of those.
No, because... wait, here we go.
An interesting.
Oh God, I'm such an idiot!
Did
wow.
you have it different on the
oh my
front
God,
and the
it's
back?
On the.
entire podcast is me just pointing out all your flaws.
It's different. I can't believe none of us caught that. It's different on the front than on the back.
So what is it?
Wow,
it's the first time in Ohio for both of them. But is it the first time in Indiana for both of them?
To be fair, this flyer was made like in a day. At the last second.
So
by me.
All of this, it all goes down to the person making the flyer. The person who put MST all over the flyer. That's their fault.
Okay. I believe the back of the flyer is accurate. Where Shadows on the Wall, I think we were told, was the Midwest premiere.
Okay.
Time Lapse is the Ohio premiere.
That's fine.
And somehow it's taken this long to figure out those were switched on the front.
Gremlins.
So the front of the flyer says, front of the flyer says Midwest premiere of Time Lapse. It's the Ohio.
This is the raw marathon. This is the raw marathon chat. You're getting you're getting all the goods. Here's an interesting interesting stinger to that whole story. Shortly after the show got canceled from Comedy Central and the movie flopped, Julie Walker was no longer there. She originally started out as just their fan club poobah, is kind of what they called her.
Yeah.
And it was sort of by caveat became the PR for Best Brains.
Yeah.
Because I mean, Best Brains was just a rinky-dink little company.
Okay, okay.
And so she ended up no longer being there, and a woman named Barb Tebbin took over. I don't know if that had anything to do with this, but what I always found so funny about it
was... Are you trying
to
take credit for Julie Walker getting canned?
No, I just...
And Julie Walker, my thing with Julie later Walker, married Kevin... or Mike.
No.
I give up. Michael Carr.
Michael Carr.
Kevin, Mike Nelson.
Mike Nelson.
And they have three beautiful children today.
Anyways, the point being is I had always heard that somebody had gone and talked about it on the message board, and that's what got it pulled. And I'm like, I wonder if that was me or if it was somebody else. And I'm like, well, now I feel bad. But then when I think about it intellectually, I'm like, printed a flyer and sent it out to people. That's where it says what it is.
I can't
understand how that would have got him in trouble.
I think there were times over the years when, because of the internet, because the internet is so much more immediate in updating people about that,
yeah,
and in today's form, there were times over the years when the flyer was still gold, if something happens like midstream, it's hard to stop that production of the information.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
No, that makes sense.
Maybe, possibly. Okay. We try when we can to say, this is a premiere and this is what it is, and we try to check with people.
So it was the nature of the premiere that got them in trouble on that?
I had always heard that there was some...
And was it Gramercy or was it Best Brains that got...
That I don't know. See,
okay.
See, here's the thing. I would think...
I don't think if Gramercy
has the rights to the film, yeah, they're the ones who would have the rights to say, oh, we don't like what you're saying about the premiere status. Not Best Brains could complain, but I'm sure they signed a deal with Gramercy to say, you have the rights to distribute this. You have the rights to promote this.
But
we can't call shots halfway down when the release has already happened.
Everything I've heard about Gramercy just from other sources in the mid-90s is it was an absolute mess.
Yeah, it might be.
And which is why it went out of business.
See, we're talking about this so much, it had to have been the most disappointing drop because we're still talking about
it. But that's new information. No, I've not told anybody that story.
The people who don't like MST are like, oh, God.
Shut up, guys.
Enough with this.
Jeez.
That is cool. This is a marathon exclusive. Not only have we found out that you were...
I was responsible for the greatest disappointment in the history.
Found out that you were Deep Throat and that I've switched the premiere settings on the flyer. Great.
All right, let's move on to another question from Tim. When do you plan on opening the doors on Saturday? For the public, not for you. I mean, obviously you have to walk in there. The Drexel staff has to show up at some point.
Between 10:30 and 11.
10:30 and 11, that's
optimally good. Optimally, I would say between 10:30 and 10:45. Because that gives you an hour to mill around, get your stuff, buy your t-shirts and mugs and concession items. And then we can do our preamble, our spiel at 11:45.
Okay.
We made the mistake at last year's Sci-Fi of not telling people we were opening the doors that early. So we were all excited, and we showed up, and there's like 25 people outside. Uh-oh.
You got to have the people running in, like in Revenge of the Nerds, when they go running for their bunks.
Yes.
after their dorm burns.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, next question. This is another one from Tim. Where's the $20 I loaned you back in 1988? Or 1998, excuse me.
1998, I believe that money went towards buying dinner for me at Don Pablo's at the Lenox one night when I was managing the Grand View. So
$20 in 1998?
Ask them.
You must have had a couple margaritas with that one.
It's a rough time in my life.
Yeah.
Boy. Yeah, I think that's where it went. Either that or I gave it to an anti Friday the 13th fan club. I don't know.
That's very possible.
I bought Jason X used on DVD and it doesn't play.
All right, another question from Andy Ahern.
Ahern? I thought it was Ahern.
Sorry, my eyes are bad. I'm old.
Ahern?
RN. My apologies, Andy.
Andy Abraham.
Come find me at the marathon and tell me I'm an idiot.
Yeah, come find Kevin.
But give me some context. Don't just walk up to me and say I'm an idiot.
Heavy set, bald, goatee.
Punch you in the
nads. He's the only one there that looks like that.
Yeah. There's no fat.
That is
hairy men at this thing.
Were you the one who I had that back and forth with where someone asked about that a couple years ago at Sci-Fi? Someone said, I'm looking for a guy in there. We were talking before. He's kind of like fat. And he has a shaved head and a goatee. And I said, that doesn't narrow it down much, sir.
I was at the...
I'm the only one who's done...
Last summer, I was at... I went to the Jerusalem Film Festival, and there's another... And I was walking through the hotel lobby, and this old woman was there. She's like, asking me about this movie. She's like, I was sitting behind you when we saw this movie last night or whatever, because it was a film festival. Yeah. I'm like, okay. And she starts describing the movie. I go, I wasn't at that movie. She goes, yes, you were. You were at, yes, you were. And we talked and blah, blah, blah. And then she kept going and going and going. And I'm like, no, I didn't see that movie. I swear to God, I didn't see that movie. I wasn't at a movie last night. And then she says, you may not have had a beard. And I'm like, oh, that's Jordan Hoffman. And that, he's also fat.
And that woman's name was Julie Walker.
Yeah, amazing.
Small world, huh?
Did not look good for her age. All right, the next question from Andy is...
Are there any really scandalous questions, like, why are you such a jock ass? Or
that one's not in there, but damn it. But you need to... And you are required to answer that.
When did you become a sellout?
If one wanted to get involved and help with the marathons, because... let me try that again. If one wanted to get involved and help the marathon cause, what, as a co-conspirator, would you like to see them do, aside from buy a ticket?
I was going to say, buy 300 tickets and you'll be gold with us. We'll have a nice little party. We'll sit around. It won't be great fun, but hey, we'll all benefit.
It'll be 24 hours. Yeah, bring some friends.
Please, buy 300 tickets. Buy a 500-seat theater for the Drexel. Mm. Buy the Drexel North. Rehabilitate it back into the Drexel North.
The Lifetime Fitness or whatever the heck.
Yeah,
it is.
If you have enough money, you can figure it out.
Yeah.
What could you do? There's a lot of ways. That's the thing. I mean, you know, over the years we've
bring joked, friends. I think
well,
would
bring
be the,
friends bring is friends the biggest thing. Yeah. I mean, the thing we keep telling people is please, please convince your friends because
don't kidnap them.
No.
And bring them against their will. Please do not have tied up people in the seats unless you're into that sort of thing.
We haven't reached that point yet. In a year or so, maybe.
We're getting close.
Yeah.
But.
Bring your friends. The easiest way we tell everybody to that they can help the marathon is be an evangelist for us. Help the cause. Grow the cult, I guess. Mm. Tell people, convince people that you know that this is cool. This is not to say like we're completely dying and struggling, but we're at the point of the event, we're at the point of the history, and we're at the point of society at large where it's going to probably start getting a little more difficult in this town, in this environment, in this media environment especially, to sell people on sitting in a theater for maybe 24 hours. So bring your friends. If you want to help in a more immediate way, aside from giving us money or buying all the tickets or any ridiculous things like that, there are a lot of ways. We have people who volunteer to hand out flyers. We have we can always use people who have artistic talent or are very well organized to help out with the decorations.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a few come out over the years. The biggest thing that we always used to joke around about was that there were always a lot of people who wanted to help, and there were always a lot of people who had a lot of talent. But getting those two things together was not the easiest thing. And that's no offense.
You just described filmmaking as a whole.
Yeah. No offense to the enthusiastic people out there, but sometimes we have had people that are really enthusiastic, but there's not a whole lot they can do. And it's like, well, tell your friends to come. That's the easiest thing. We're kind of a small operation right now,
mm-hmm.
which is annoying sometimes, but it's also nice because we can get things done fairly quickly. The bureaucracy is not too big. One thing we've done the last couple marathons, and I think this is going on again with this one, is we've reached back out to Marcon, and some of the Marcon reps have come and worked the ticket table, and that's great to be able to do that and have a nice, small yet very sturdy group of people who want to come in and help out is awesome. I mean, way beyond awesome.
You can also kidnap the president of Kerblakistan and hold them for ransom.
Or David Cronenberg or John Carpenter. Or
well, do that like
Stanley Kubrick's
right
corpse.
Before
or,
the,
yeah.
You got to keep them alive for weeks. That's just annoying.
You shouldn't say that. I know from knowing some of our more hardcore members, someone is going to take that seriously.
Please do not kidnap real people.
Please do not. Disclaimer. Yeah. I hope that's not nebulous enough.
Yeah, but I think that's important.
Well, and part of it, too, is a lot of the things that we end up doing, like the core, Bruce, me, Dave Zucchini, the people at the theater, the decoration crew when they're around, when they're able to help. A lot of those things we do, they take time.
Yeah.
But they're fun. I mean, that's part of why we like to do them is, hey, this is a lot of fun. And it takes a lot of effort, but it's cool. And we haven't reached the point yet where enough of that is overwhelming.
Yeah.
Which is cool. But we'll see,
All right. Cool.
The only easy answer I've given is David Cronenberg.
David Cronenberg, yeah. That's it. All right. There are three final questions from Tim the...
How many questions does Tim have?
Like seven.
Seven?
Seven.
Seven? Tim, I know you have a family. What are you doing?
Three final questions. The first one is, there has been a serious lack of Tom Atkins mustache at the marathons. When will we see Night of the Creeps or Halloween 3 at the horror marathon?
Okay, Halloween 3, I would not be shocked if someday, sooner than later, it showed, because it has had a big resurgence culturally, and people like it, and it's good. And Tom Atkins is Tom Atkins. Night of the Creeps.
Could we get Tom Atkins as a guest? He's not doing anything, man. Is he?
Nah, he never does anything, does he? He just sits at home and rakes in the royalties. And
he just combs his mustache, smokes cigarettes, and drinks light beer.
Yeah. Bangs nurses.
That's right.
Jolene. Tom Atkins.
I was telling Joe that there's a guy on Twitter who tweets as Dr. Dan Chalice.
Yeah.
From Halloween 3.
Yeah.
Which is, of course, Tom Atkins' character. And it's Cochran Hater, @Cochran_Hater. And he is a
crown jewel of the Twitterverse.
Entertaining guy, yes.
Yeah, Halloween 3, I think would be cool to show. Yeah. When that's going to show, that's up for debate. That falls into one of those deals where we know we could show something like that. So it's like, okay, when's the right time to do it? When would it have the best impact? Night of the Creeps, we have talked about. That's a case of, in many ways, a format. You know, as we say ad nauseum, our standard we try to set is if there's a good 35 millimeter print or a DCP, we show that.
Yeah.
And we try to get as much content as we can in that, because those are theatrical exhibition formats.
Yeah.
Some would argue that DCP is far inferior. You know, that gets into a very minor part. And I mean, you know, film is still film. If you put a perfect film print up against a perfect DCP, film still rules in so many ways. But there are a lot of really nice DCPs too. It's format. It's trying to figure out how to get the best possible format. If the only way we could show Night of the Creeps was like on Blu-ray, would we say no way in hell ever? No.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of trying to figure out what's the best format, how can we get it, when can we show it, let's go with that. Mm-hmm. Some things too, and we talked about this last time, and I've talked about this on the message board, there are titles that you would think would be a gimme to book, but depending on rights, they can add up. We talked about The Manitou. Many times. How could you not talk about The Manitou? The Manitou, one of the few times I'll disclose like real numbers. But the show The Manitou, we had to obtain a collector print because the people who have the rights do not have a 35 millimeter print right now. So we had to pay the collector to use their print.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had to pay to clear the rights to show the movie with the people who distributed it.
Yeah.
Then we had to pay for
shipping. Which is something people, I think, overlook.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because you have a print doesn't mean you can show it. And I think, I would imagine that, in particular with Kappa involved, they want to stay. I've talked to Kevin at the Drexel.
Oh, yeah.
Even when they showed Cuckoo Patrol.
Yeah.
He said they had to track that down, and it was like 100 pounds to show it or something.
We paid,
like that.
Some of you will laugh, we paid the rights to show Cuckoo Patrol.
Which is a good movie.
And that's part of the ever-changing distribution landscape is... You know, The Manitou is a pretty easy case because it's like, okay, it's Rialto owns the Studio Canal Library, and the Studio Canal Library has The Manitou. There you go. You have to pay them. They're pretty upfront saying, we have the rights to this. Hi, how you doing? Here's our website. People deal with us. If there's a way to pay the people that have the rights to it, we want to do that. And Kappa wants to do it too because that's crossing all your T's and you don't want to get sued or anything. Yeah. There are still titles out there that are in very hazy territory. Both in terms of, does anyone have the rights? Is it public domain? Did anyone not copyright this? Can we not find the people who have rights? There are cases like that where you'll go looking and you can't find who has the rights to it. Because sometimes Title A or Title X has the rights have reverted back to whoever directed it and they're dead or something else like that.
And you have to track down their kids. And
Or sometimes it's like, okay, it's a foreign film, but no one has U.S. rights right now and we can't get in touch with East Bulgaria where the people who have the rights are. You know, it's tricky. But in cases like a lot of these cases, if you have a print, that's great, but you should really pay whoever has the rights to it because A, that could be problematic down the road, and B, it's kind of the right thing to do.
You're trying to do it above board.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, that the event, especially if the event has the hopes of continuing to grow along the line, you can't do a ton of stuff under the board because once you get to a certain stage of the event growth, someone's going to know, you know, or someone will say, hey, why didn't you pay us for our prints? It's not that it's kind of frowned upon in the exhibition community. Yeah. Even people who don't make a big deal out of it, you know, there are screenings and marathons, both full and mini, across the country that sometimes show, say, more obscure titles than we do, just because that's their fan base. And, you know, sometimes they'll have times when they don't announce some of those titles. It's like, oh, and we have a couple surprise features. They still pay the rights for that stuff.
Yeah.
Because they want to keep above ground too, because it's reputation. One of the worst things, especially in this day and age of the internet, is if you get a bad reputation as a theater or an exhibitor or a event organizer, you can't just hide that always. People will spread that word. There are like collector forums where they have subtopics of who's good to loan to, or who is good to, you know, go to for these things. And if you're an idiot, or you destroy prints, or if you just don't pay people don't like that.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's a case about that. Night of the Creeps is just, you know, when's the right time, when, what's the right format, and I think it would be fun to show. And more Tom Atkins, and any film, as I've said before, that has the guy who played Bubba in Mama's Family, and the guy who played Rusty in European Vacation, and Tom Atkins.
Wow.
That's A-OK.
That's
with
the
me.
Trifecta. Did that win an Academy Award?
I like to think I am the Midwest's foremost expert on Mama's Family in my spare time.
Sadly, that may not be the case. There are a lot of crazy Mama's Family fans out there.
But how many of them are married to Vicki Lawrence?
You're married to Vicki Lawrence. That's amazing. That's the first time I ever heard of
her. Now I'm going to get sued by Vicki Lawrence. Great.
You're not exhibiting her, so you're okay.
No.
All right.
So I hope that helps. Yeah, those two definitely at some point. You know as well as I do, marathons, even though it's harder to get some titles these days, mm-hmm. because of the digital switch and all that, the marathon has 11 to 12 slots. It's like an embarrassment of riches. There's so much we can show every year.
Yeah.
And it's trying to narrow it down and what gets left out and what gets in.
That makes sense. The next question from Tim. I think I speak for everyone when I say we
That's
have waited.
That's a lie. That's a lie. That's such a lie. That Tim, you why Tim? Why do
I
you
say
do this
we
to
have
me?
Waited long enough for the giant claw to return to the marathon?
Oh wait, giant.
Hopefully you can squeeze
now,
that
wait,
one in next.
The
year.
Giant claw showed in 2004.
That's 11
right?
years ago, man. I don't know.
Was it 2000?
I never saw it. I missed that marathon.
The giant claw showed at the Arena Grand in 2004. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or I slept through it.
I love The Giant Claw.
The Giant Claw is amazing.
I love The Giant Claw. You're right. I think The Giant Claw is probably one that we should bring back at some point, because mm-hmm. before 2004, it hadn't shown since like 1988. Mm-hmm. That's a special little film, and it probably should make its return to sci-fi. Again, format notwithstanding, I don't know the current status of their 35 print.
Yeah.
I know, we're talking about The Giant Claw, and it's like, you have to have the right format for Giant Claw.
Well, but I mean, you don't want to just... I think it's not available on Blu-ray, so you'd have to do it on
right.
DVD, which makes it kind of crummy.
A little bit, yeah.
And as I understand it, all the availability of The Giant Claw on DVD is like in these multi-packs.
Yeah.
Sort of like The Wasp Woman. I think The Wasp Woman, you can get all these multi-packs.
Oh, yeah.
It's crappy transfers.
But this is a 35 print we're showing. So,
yeah.
The Giant Claw should come back at some point. That's up there with like Inframan of films that don't really get old. Although I think Inframan's in its own league.
Inframan's amazing.
Yeah. Giant Claw is fantastically bad. Inframan is like a religious experience.
It is. With
so,
flashing
yeah.
lights and everything.
Tim, I think you're right. Take that out of context if you'd like. You're right. Giant Claw should come back sometime soon.
Final question from Tim.
From Tim.
Is there any way to prevent Kevin Carr from stripping this year?
God, I hope so. Animal sacrifice? Murder? I don't... Tim, I'm talking to you right now, even though Kevin's in the room. I don't know what's going on. I think it might be a midlife crisis.
I didn't strip last...
Or a cry for help.
I didn't strip with the Hornet. We just grinded up against you. We just molested you in front of the audience.
Yeah, I still haven't gotten over that one. My therapist is very pleased that I have a new trauma like that.
Yeah, well, we do what we can.
I don't know.
We do requests as well.
I don't know why Kevin wants to strip so readily.
My milkshakes, they bring all the boys
to
the
world may never know. Yeah, they do. You had to wait till the end for that. That was such a self-serving final question. It's like,
what's the real question?
Let's get the real ones out, and then we'll end with something about me.
Why not?
Those are all the questions?
That is it.
Wow. I expected something more controversial or biting.
Is there a question that you have?
I don't know. Is there a question that I have?
I have a question.
Tim Martin,
and I know this.
Why are you obsessed with Friday the 13th?
And this is one question that, and I'm springing it on you. I'm ambushing you with it. You should expect it, though. your whole business of the question of the week, if you could program your final marathon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is that prophetic at all? Is there a marathon on the chopping block?
Because no.
I know a lot of people were questioning that when they were answering.
No, that was not a dry run for the inevitable disappointment.
Okay.
That's
not like a dad coming home and saying to the kids at McDonald's, would you have a problem if I wasn't living with your mom anymore?
No.
Just out of curiosity.
No, the marathons are in good shape.
No.
They are. I mean, they are. We love working with the Drexel, and they have been great to us. And the feedback we've received is great. And
right.
I think that feedback, you know, rises up to the people in charge at the Drexel. They like it.
Yeah.
The true story about how that question came about, it's pretty simple. We started the question of the week last fall for the horror marathon.
Mm-hmm.
Did fairly well. So I thought, well, let's try it again for sci-fi. Hasn't been as well maintained for sci-fi. I guess the horror people like to talk more. I don't know. But I looked back and said, well, I don't want to just repeat all the questions from horror. So we did week one, and it was defining. Well, if you had to like have a defining moment from the marathon,
yeah,
specifically sci-fi, what would it be? If you had to sell someone to come to their first marathon and say, this moment encapsulates the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I got to week two, and I was like, well, what's it going to be? I don't know. And it's like, oh, blah, blah. So, oh, what about if the marathon was ending?
Yeah.
Because people always like to talk about what they'd like to see. Well, okay, let's say if the marathon was ending, the sci-fi was ending, how would you book the final one? That's it. No ulterior motives, no.
I was curious, because that's what I thought when I saw that, and I saw people start answering, and they're like, and it was these very subtle comments at the beginning, like, I hope this isn't what's really happening, but this is what I would do, kind of thing.
You know how I am, how much I love these events. I would not, that would be too painful for me.
Yeah.
If I knew that the marathons were ending with the next one, I couldn't soft pedal it and do, you know, a dry run.
Like, guys.
No, Jesus, no. God, if we knew the marathons were ending with the next one, we'd probably tell you right now if we could.
Yeah.
Well, that sounded terrible. That sounded like I was covering it up again. If we could, but we can't.
We could.
So
but
maybe
we're not.
Not
going to.
But I don't know. But it
but
could.
We don't know for sure.
No, I mean, well, you know, you should know as well as we do. The marathons have survived for this long. 20 years ago.
The marathons are their own bizarre version of the Terminator.
Yeah. You can't kill them.
Yeah.
20 years ago, a month from now, mid-April, final Drexel North Marathon. The official announcement comes two films before the end, before Escape from New York. This guy, devastated.
Mm-hmm.
I immediately ran around the theater in the lobby and took as many pictures as I could,
yeah,
hoping to save all these things so one day when I bought the place, I could rebuild it exactly as it was.
How's that going?
It's coming, I'm telling you.
All right, just checking.
That's my big news. I am reopening the Drexel North in December because I
kicking
won the
out all those fitness folks.
Yeah. It seemed, to a lot of people back then, it seemed like that was the end.
Yeah.
But then we went to the Rife Center. Then that ended. Then we went to the Continent. Then that ended. We went to Grandview. Then, I mean, it's the sci-fi has been to 6-7 different theaters now, and it won't die. Horror Marathon has been...
it won't die. They've been marathon, trying to kill
horror
it
Horror Marathon
years.
Has basically been killed several times. You know, the Night of the Living Drexel was canceled, and then Nightmare at Studio 35, you know, I parted ways with the management there, and it looked like something wouldn't continue. It continues to live. And I really think that they'll continue in one way or the other. And it's as long as we have a place that we can show things, as long as we have a place that will have us, we'll keep doing these things. So that's a long, long, long answer to a pretty simple question. That no, as far as we know, the marathon is not ending anytime soon.
Oh, okay.
But it's like any... you know, life things. I can't sit here and tell you definitely in 5 years, there's no way in hell that anything will go wrong.
Yeah.
Because people change, lives change. I could move to Venice and become a beach bum and just...
That's possible. Or Venus.
Or Venus. Venus would be even better. Do you have any other questions you want to ask? Any other hard-hitting, insightful?
I think that's it.
The lineup, by the way, if you haven't seen it, is the Ohio premiere of Time Lapse, the Midwest premiere of Shadows of the
Wall. If you're going to do the lineup, let's do the lineup. Let's give the actual order.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the schedule. That's right. Schedule. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I hope Bruce got the premiere designation right on the schedule. God.
All right, let's
blame
see.
This on me if you'd like.
Schedule. It is starting off with Alien at noon.
Yes, the original, the one, the only.
Then at 2:20, Doctor Who and the Daleks.
Which replaced the 10th Victim, which yes. Tenth Victim, great example. We tried to show that. We could not get the rights to it, so we're not going to show it.
Yeah.
Even though you promoted it. We're not
going to end up on the flyer, but yeah.
No, we're not going to thumb our nose at the distributor and say, well, too bad.
Yeah. Then at 4:30, the Midwest premieres of Shadows on the Wall?
That is correct.
Okay,
we got it right.
Premiere.
Cool.
I got it right. Somebody got it right in there. Then the annual costume contest at 6:40.
$100 first prize, kids.
32nd annual costume contest.
And
tons of
cool prizes.
In
oh.
Which I will be stripping.
Hey, by the way.
I was thinking of dressing up as the masturbating fat guy from Hardware. Do you think that'll go over well?
Boy, I don't even remember that part, so that should
it's
be great.
It's there. It's there. Yeah!
By the way, prize news. We have some pretty cool swag from...
Epic Loot?
From Epic Loot,
Loot. We own Epic Loot. Don't tell anybody.
We love Epic Loot.
We have some cool swag from Insurgent, the new film in the Divergent series. We've got t-shirts and posters. We're supposed to
have Cheyenne Woodley will come and make out with you.
Yeah, sure.
That's part of the deal.
Yeah, she's going to come kill me now for that.
I secured that with Julie Walker.
Oh, good.
Already, so
good. Julie Walker will probably come kill me, too. Little known fact, Julie Walker's daughter, Cheyenne Woodley.
Really?
No. Believe it if you want, Internet. I think we have passes to an advanced screening of Insurgent that's
Ooh.
Happening next Monday that mm-hmm. we're going to give away. We also, I have seen these. Here's something pretty cool. We have a decent roll of posters from Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, wow.
That we'll be giving away. Have you seen the trailer for Fury Road? I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, there's been a couple of
them. Oh, I haven't seen the second trailer. I've seen the one that has...
There's an international trailer out there. I haven't seen so many people. But
I'm looking forward to that. I think that could be potentially pretty great.
It looks very Road Warrior-ish, which is good.
With more money and windstorms and sandstorms. So, there's tons of cool prizes and $100 first prize with the big check and all that stuff. Theoretically, if you win first prize, you could win like $200 to $300 worth of stuff. So, and you don't need the greatest costume. You just need to know how to sell it.
Like the masturbating fat guy from Hardware. You should show Hardware early so my costume goes over better.
Time to switch the schedule, kids.
Better. All right, speaking of schedule, then at 7 o'clock, we got Barbarella.
Yes.
Then we've got at 9:20, the Ohio premiere of Time Lapse.
That is correct.
At 11:40, Blade Runner, the final cut.
My favorite sci-fi movie of all time.
Which hopefully will not crash like Harrison Ford's planes.
Then at 2 o'clock. The topical humor is amazing.
We have Earth Girls Are Easy.
Just think if Harrison Ford had died.
I wouldn't have said that.
How many more tickets do you think we could have sold?
A lot. Especially if
he was
Harrison
Ford's really going to kill me
now. Get in line after Julie Walker and Stephen King and Werner Herzog. Then at... 4 o'clock is Lucy. Great time for Lucy.
That's in many ways why we booked it then.
5:40 Hardware.
Yeah.
Which I will probably be sleeping
in 35mm.
Oh.
Oh, Earth Girls in 35mm too.
Oh, cool. And then 8 o'clock, The Wasp Woman.
In 35mm.
You know, the Earth Girls Are Easy. I have never not seen that at a Drexel theater.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's a good movie.
I've heard.
Aliens at 9:45 wraps things up.
Yeah.
And then the presentation of certificates at noon-ish.
Noon-ish. We'll try to keep on time. Oh, and we are, I think, before Doctor Who and the Daleks, possibly, or before Shadows on the Wall, one of the two. At last check, we're going to do a Leonard Nimoy tribute before one of those. So FYI. We haven't nailed down the exact... part, but some classic.
I'm going to show the Legend of Bilbo Baggins, the song.
I cannot confirm nor deny anything that we're going to do yet.
Other than,
you know, like Captain Kirk won't be there.
Well, he's not going to be there for anything.
He wouldn't come
to Harrison Ford's funeral.
I set you up, didn't I? Didn't I set you up so nicely? See that?
All right. Well, we probably should wrap this up. Yeah. We've asked, we've answered, we've made asses of ourselves.
Kevin's wife is throwing pots and pans up into the magical studio in the sky.
Possum pants?
Pots and pans.
Oh, possum.
You're getting old and deaf.
I thought you said possum pants.
You know you're only 5 years older
than
me, right?
Possums do not wear pants.
In my world, they do.
Okay.
And on that note,
I guess that's it. We'll see you at the marathon.